Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Been brewing a message for a little bit, and when I got the call from Bob, I said, okay, it's the time to go for this message, and it's called Cultivating a Heart of Praise. It's good to praise the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 16:25, it says, "For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise." So he is great, and he is worthy of our praise. He is so worthy of our praise. In Psalm 63:4 in the NIV, it says, "I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." So we'll praise him as long as we live. You know, with what are you going to do with your last breath, you know, to be able to praise the Lord as long as we live, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter the circumstances, that we have a heart of praise, to cultivate that heart of praise. In Psalm 68:4, it says, "Sing to God, sing praises to his name." So singing to the Lord is a part of our praise, singing to him and doing other acts of worship before him. That's part of our praise before him. You know, there's something right and there's something liberating and healthy and altogether holy about praising the Lord. It takes us out of our circumstances. It takes the light off of ourselves and puts it onto the Lord. It takes our light and momentary trials and really puts our emphasis on the Lord. I've been on a journey of really understanding praising the Lord and just really enjoying the different expressions of praising him. But I remember when the Lord had me at a time where I was raised Roman Catholic, a little Polish church, big Polish church in our neighborhood. And I had never really been outside of that in any kind of expressions of faith. But Nancy had a home daycare at the time. There was a guy who came, and I was trying to get questions answered, and he had his son in our daycare. And I thought, he's one of those born-againers. I'll get him. He'll answer all my questions. You know, I'll go after him. And he said, "You know, Stan, that's a good question. I don't really have the answer for that right now, but if I can come back next week, I'll be able to be more equipped." And so that started a relationship of him ministering to me and giving me his pastor's messages on cassette tapes, right? And so he would give me those, and then I would listen to those. And there's something that began to stir in me that I didn't realize. And it was just, I was being drawn to the Lord in such a way that I had never been before. And then, so there came a point where I was just about at that threshold of really asking the Lord into my life. And I felt to honor him and honor his pastor. I went to his church and was somewhere here in Elkhart. I don't remember the name of the church, but I just remember how scared to death I was, because I had never been outside of anything Catholic. They had tabrets and flags, and they're running around, and I'm like, I love tabrets and flags now. You know, I love to express worship in that way. But at that time, it was something that I wasn't prepared for, and the pastor came and talked to me, and I said, "You know, this is all really a little bit too much for me." I said, "I love your messages, but this is a little bit much." I said, "I'm going to have to grow into this." And so I decided that day that I didn't want to be afraid of that. I just didn't understand it. And there's times when there's expressions of worship that we don't understand. You know, I know people that it's taken them 25 years to lift their hand in worship. There's been a journey for them just to do this in worship. And another many years to put both hands up in worship. So everybody's on a journey of praise. We're all on our own journey. So the definition of praise is an act of worship in acknowledgement of God. It is the means by which we express our highest joy to the Lord. I love that. We express our highest joy to the Lord. That's an expression of worship. Webster's dictionary is to extol the Lord in his glory. Extolling the Lord can be expressed in extravagant praise. They're singing, dancing before him, shouting, clapping, being on your face before him. All of these are throughout his word, throughout the Psalms, throughout the word of God, all these different expressions of praise before the Lord. There's something I call two pillars of praise. Praising the Lord for who he is called adoration. Praising the Lord for what he does is called thanksgiving. So there's two pillars of praise, adoration and thanksgiving. Before we walk in the highest expressions of praise, we need to take an inventory of our hearts because the message is called cultivating a heart of praise. So we just need to look at our hearts for a moment and see what the Lord's doing in there. See, the heart's the seat of our emotions. You know, we put our whole heart into something. We love you with all our hearts. When we get saved, we ask Jesus, would you come into our hearts, to the place, the seat of our emotions? The heart is the place where all of our expression is cultivated. Our heart is who we are. It's an expression of who we are. It comes from the place of what we hide in our hearts. In Matthew 12:34b, it says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in your heart will eventually come out, most likely at the most inconvenient times. And there's times when, out of the overflow of our heart, sometimes it's the right thing. Sometimes there's something in our heart as an expression of the Lord that maybe we're not comfortable yet in saying or expressing to someone. But all of a sudden, we're in a situation, and then we might say, because Jesus loves me, or we might say, because the Lord saved me. Maybe we didn't plan on saying that, but it comes out of our, if it's in our heart, it's going to come out. And so there's times when there's times when we have to be able to be ready for what it is. But we can only stuff down what's in our heart for so long. We can only keep it down there for so long. But the good things should always, the overflow of our heart should always come out, the good things. And the word tells us to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. So that reason for our hope should always be able to come out, especially this time of year when you're shopping and three people just stole your three parking spaces and then now you have to park way out there. It's a great opportunity to praise the Lord. Proverbs 16:23 said, a wise man's heart guides his mouth and his lips promote instruction. So a wise man's heart guides his mouth. You know, so it's be able to let our heart guide us. You know, what we stuff in our heart, what we keep in our heart, it should guide our mouth. We should have a caution, or we should be able to have a freely, if it's something right and edifying to the Lord and edifying to others, it should freely be able to come out. Proverbs 3:1-6, this is something that the Lord's been really bringing home to me lately, and it's in his word, the places where he has the tablet of our hearts. And so in Proverbs 3:1-6, this is, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. You know, that last part of the verse, that's on bumper stickers. We repeat that ever. But we need to back up sometimes and look at the whole verse. And so there's so much in there because he says, let your heart keep my commandments. So if we're cultivating a heart of praise, you know, let your heart keep my commandments, not your flesh, not your human strength, but your heart keep my commandments. So here's a promise. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. So it's one of those things where there's a promise with the word. Length of days, years of life and peace. So if we let our hearts keep his commandments, length of days, years of life and peace, he'll add to us. How many of you could use a little bit more peace in your life, you know, especially this time of year? You know, to be able to have that peace. And then there's two things here to never leave you. Kindness and truth. Do not let them leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So I wonder if the Lord has an access like this, if he, you know, what's on Stan's tablet of his heart, you know. He goes through, I love these kind of spiral tablets. Got a million of them. But it's one of those things where, to me, it's a visual of the tablet of my heart, you know, that there's actually things that I've written in here. And so what are the things that are written on the tablet of my heart? Kindness and truth, never let them leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It says, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You know, so what's on the tablet of our hearts is going to give us favor with God and with men. It has length of days, years of life, and peace added to us. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight or direct your paths. So the tablet of our heart, do we take an inventory of what's in the tablet of our hearts? You know, is it the most important things to us? Is it the most important things that we're ready to say? What do we keep close to us? Is praise and worship and exalting the Lord, is that written on the tablets of our heart, that we love to praise him, that we love to worship him, that we love to have those demonstrations of exalting the Lord? Is that on the tablet of our hearts? Is there graceful and kind words? Or is there, have you written on the tablet of your heart hurtful words that someone has said to you that penetrated your heart and that you're going to keep there, that you haven't dealt with it yet, you haven't given it to the Lord, and you're just kind of keeping it there? Is there thankfulness on the tablet of your heart, or is there entitlement? So what are you keeping on the tablet of your heart? Is there a list of the wrongs that someone has done to you? Is there a list of wrongs that you have done? Is there a list of things that you won't forgive yourself for? You know, a lot of times we forgive others, but there's the one of the biggest prisons that I've come to see in working with people is that we have the key to unlock the prison, but the key is forgiving ourselves. And a lot of people don't want to use the key because they don't feel like they've earned the right to forgive themselves yet. They have to go through something to be able to do that. So is that on the tablet of your heart? Or is there a list of pardons that someone has graced upon you that maybe you didn't deserve forgiveness for something, but somebody offered you forgiveness? And do you remember that? Is that on the tablet of your heart? So have you ever inventoried the tablet of your heart? In Proverbs 7, 1 through 3, here's another one. It says, my son, keep my words, store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. That's your greatest affection. His teachings should be your greatest affection as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Hold on to them. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So we should store up his commands and write them on the tablet of our heart. So I think there should be more verses that we've memorized on the tablet of our hearts than anything else in there. You know, it's so wonderful to be able to have scripture memorized and pull it out at just the right opportunity. And you may not even have remembered that you have stored that up in your heart, but it comes out at the right opportune time because you've memorized it, because you put it on the tablet of your heart, because it's there, it's readily available to you. But I love it. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. One of the greatest, your greatest affection should be his teachings. So if we're cultivating a heart of praise, what condition is your heart in? What if you look at the tablet of your heart, what condition is your heart in? If you're cultivating a heart of praise, then what keeps you from praising? What's in your heart that maybe you don't praise the way that you want to? Maybe you don't praise the Lord in the circumstances that you should. What keeps you from having a heart of praise? So a question I have is, so where does those two pillars, where does adoration and thankfulness rank on the tablet of your heart? Are they in there? So the two pillars of praise, for who he is adoration, and for what he does is thankfulness. So for those two things, is that on the tablet of your heart? You know, sometimes we're kind of groomed, I guess, of a better word to say, is to be able to think about the stuff that God does for us more than we do of who he is. Sometimes it's easier if he gives us, you know, if we get a provision or if we make a new friend or something comes along our way, it's easier sometimes it seems to praise God for the stuff because we see the things that he provides for us. He's a good father and he provides. And those times when he provides things that we don't see coming, it's an amazing thing that he does for us. But yet, to push past that, to be able just to praise him for who he is, not because of what he's done for us recently, not because of the most recent blessing, just because of who he is. He is good. He is our Savior. He is our Father. He is a father to the fatherless. He is, you know, the friend of sinners. All these things that he is to us, to be able to thank him for just who he is adoration. I'm going to take a, we're going to look at three different things of what cultivating a heart of praise does for us, what it absolutely does for us. The first one, it keeps you Lord-focused. It keeps you focused on him. Having a heart of praise keeps you completely focused on him. Psalm 138:1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart, not with some of my heart or with the back portion of the tablet of my heart, but with all our heart. With, you know, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart, no matter what's in it, the seat of our emotions, everything that we have. Our heart is everything that we have to offer. That's what our heart is. So do we praise him with everything that we have to offer him? Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise you, O Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love Psalm 139 and the whole thing. But to be able to look at this as I will praise you, O Lord, because understanding our bodies are an amazing thing and how he knit us together in our mother's womb and how he's, you know, when you've lived life and you see just our physical bodies and the way that he has made us up completely, it's just, it can't help but bring praise out of you to say, Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are an amazing creator. You have created this in me. And so it's just absolutely amazing. I want us to Psalm 145. There's so much in this, I just decided, let's just read the whole thing. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. That's what God does, right? They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, rich in love. The Lord is good to us all. He has compassion on all he has made, and all you have made will praise you, O Lord. All that you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall. It lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at proper time. Open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. I love that. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. You know, one of the greatest things that we can do in keeping it Lord-focused is modeling that to the generation behind us. How are they going to learn to praise the Lord if they don't see us doing it? You know, the car breaks down and you don't have the money to pay for it. And your kids are like, Mom, Dad, what are you going to do? Let's just take a moment and praise the Lord first before we ask him to fix the car. Let's just praise him. So we're modeling that to the generation behind us to just praise him no matter what comes our way. In the middle of health crisis, to praise him. In the middle of relational crisis, to praise him. That's what we're modeling to the not only our children, but to our friends and those around us. We're modeling a lifestyle of praise. Those around us are going to learn a greater lifestyle of praise from watching us walk through things and praising the Lord in the midst of it. How many of you realize that having a heart of praise, cultivating a true heart of praise, keeps self-pity away? Man, I used to have the best self-pity parties, man. I'd have streamers and noisemakers and everything, man. I had the best self-pity parties. But I had a loving wife who really didn't have tolerance for self-pity. So she didn't join my parties. So I had to find a way to get before the Lord and to praise myself out of a place of self-pity. And see that it keeps, when you praise him, it keeps it keeps you Lord-focused. Self-pity is what? It keeps you focused on you. Your circumstances, oh me, oh my, what's going on, oh, you know, Eeyore. But it's that thing when you get out of that and you praise him, then you leave that self-pity behind and you don't have to, you know, I left it behind and dusted my feet of that thing. But it's a wonderful thing when you're able to keep things Lord-focused. That doesn't mean it's easy all the time. That doesn't mean that it's easy to do, but it's the right thing to do. And it will change your heart, and it will change your perspective. If cultivating a heart of praise, if you keep it Lord-focused, then other things don't seem quite as noise-making. They don't take as much time. Sometimes we spend so much time thinking about things and overthinking things and trying to figure out how and what am I going to do now, right? What am I going to do now? But if we get out of that place and we keep it Lord-focused, what are you going to do now, Lord? We're just going to praise you. And then without even ever asking him to solve the current problem that you're in, just to praise him in the middle of it. The second thing to cultivating a lifestyle of praise is it keeps you thankful. Psalm 107:21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We don't thank him because we feel good or we want to feel good. We give him thanks because he is good. His mercy endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We give thanks in everything, not in spite of things. No matter what we go through, to give thanks. Because sometimes, you know, the word calls us to call our trials light and momentary. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes trials come to stay. They don't come to pass. And you got to figure out what to do in the midst of a trial. You know, and no matter what we go through, to give him thanks. You know, it's a hard thing to do, but say, Lord, you know, thank you for this trial. Lord, you could not accomplish in my heart what you wanted to without this trial that you've allowed my way. You cannot cultivate a deeper sense of love, a deeper sense of grace if you didn't allow this trial. If we can get a perspective on that and thank God for our trials, because sometimes we're just like, Lord, would you take this trial away from me? And especially if they have first names attached to them. Lord, can you take this trial away? If you try to pray away people in your life that are annoying you, God's just going to send you more of them. Because he's trying to cultivate something in you. So the quicker we just submit to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, this trial's here. What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want written on the tablet of my heart through this trial, God? And then we go through it. It's funny. It says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, we wrestle with the will of God. And I know what people want when they say, I don't know God's will for me in this situation or that situation. And I know what they want. They want a specific answer for something they're contending to the Lord about. But when they use that word, what's God's will for me, I always take them back to this. Why don't you start here? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is God's will for you. The word says, this is God's will for you. So if you're looking for God's will for you, this is a good place to start before you get the answer for the big thing that you're asking God about. Proper thankfulness in our hearts keeps the tablet of our heart in a good place. It keeps us from becoming greedy and embittered. It keeps us from becoming negative people and having just a real heart of thankfulness before the Lord. In Colossians 2:6-7 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. That means our thankfulness should spill over into the people around us. We should have an overflowing thankfulness spilling over into the people that are closest to us, around us. You know, that's this is a good time of the year to overflow with thankfulness. Christmas shopping is out there, you know, to be able, you know, so we've come out of Thanksgiving. It's a great time to really be thankful. And I love how even on the secular stations, there was one where it said, this one newscaster said, he talked about how Thanksgiving came to be and how our presidents put it into action. And he said, and it's not about turkey. He said, it's about giving thanks to the Lord God. And that was pretty risky because he didn't say Allah or this or that. He said to the Lord God, you know, and I just thought it was really interesting how he put that out there. But this is the time of year where we're able to really give thanks to the Lord and to overflow with it, to be able to overflow into others' lives. One of the greatest things is for others to see around us that we have a thankful heart, that we are thankful people, that we're not entitled to things or that we are selfish or stingy with stuff. You know, to be able to have a thankful heart is something that is really contagious. When you have a thankful heart and you're ready to give praise to the Lord, it is a very contagious thing. It's a wonderful, contagious thing. If we live a thankful life, a thankful lifestyle, to be able to praise the Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we're not anxious about anything, but we come to the Lord in prayer, it says, with thanksgiving. So to be able to thank him first before we give him another list of something that we need from him, to be able to thank him for the things that he's already given to us, and to be able to thank him from that place in our hearts. It said it'll guard your hearts and your mind. The peace of God will guard your hearts, and it'll transcend all your understanding. So if we come to the Lord with a petition, but we really put thanksgiving on it, it's going to guard our hearts and our minds. It's going to guard the tablet of our hearts. Cultivating a heart of praise keeps us a thankful people. Always expressing thanks to the Lord, especially for the small things. You know, sometimes the smallest of things speak the biggest love from God. Because sometimes when God answers the small things in us, where it doesn't shake anybody else's life or doesn't do anything big, but there's a small thing sometimes. Maybe the thing that you're going to the store for is on clearance. That may seem like a small thing to someone, but you know, that's sometimes just a little expression of love that the Lord has. Or sometimes you're like, you know what, I don't have money for this or that. Somebody might say, you know, you're like, man, I wish I had some money for lunch or something. Somebody might give that to you. Or just those little things that maybe go unnoticed on the scheme of the big things, but the littlest of things have the greatest expression of God's love to us. They speak the most loudly to him. Because I think that there's times when there's no other way that God could have done it. I just remember a friend of mine, they would always have this Bible study at their house. This pastor friend of mine, his wife, she always liked to have fresh flowers on the table. And that was her expression of love to the group that was coming. Well, she was busy and running late and things were happening and she was getting ready. And all of a sudden she realized that she had not ordered the flowers. And then she said, well, Lord, it's in your hands. And she said, you made the flowers. If you want me to have flowers, then you can bring them my way. Well, a guy who always delivered the flowers to her, somebody had ordered the wrong thing of flowers. So he had this extra bouquet. So he stopped at her house and he knocked at the door like 5 minutes before people were supposed to come. And he said, you know, he said, I have this extra thing of flowers. You always order them. I don't know if you need them or not today, but here's a vase of flowers for you. 5 minutes before people came. Now, in the scheme of global economy and the national election and all that stuff, that doesn't change a lot of things for a lot of people. But what was that expression to that pastor's wife? What was that expression to her for her Bible study? The Lord cared enough about her and her heart of expression to her Bible study group to have fresh flowers that he, you know, I'd love to go back and see, now how did somebody order that wrong? And how did that guy think of her? That's how my mind thinks. I want to go back and see how God worked all that out. You know? But just to have a little heart of expression of love to her. The last thing I want to talk about is that the cultivating a heart of praise, it keeps you spiritually healthy. To have a heart of praise that keeps you spiritually healthy. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Praise keeps us joyful. Remember, the definition of joyful is expressing our heart to God with the full joy of the Lord, expressing our joy to him. It keeps us joyful. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desired fulfillment or longing fulfilled is the tree of life. You know, one of the hardest things to break out of is hopelessness. You know, and there's times when we see people in our lives that are just hopeless. It's really hard to speak into their lives. It's really hard to pull them out of that place because sometimes the roots go way deep in that hopelessness, and it's really hard to pull them out of that. And for us, ourselves, really a heart of praise. The only way that we can, if we find ourselves going into a place of being hopeless or just really going into that place, to praise yourself out of that place. Praise the Lord and get out of that place, because it's not a healthy place for you spiritually. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, to me, for us to be able to look at the darkness that we were in before we came to the Lord, the darkness, what was in our lives, and the things that we found important, and the stuff that was spiritually bad for us, that was, it was, we didn't even know it was darkness till we came into the kingdom of light and we became children of light, and then we could look back and say, oh man, that was a really dark place I was in. You know? But I love this. It says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him. So we really need to spend some time declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness, to remember that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I love that scripture that calls us the children of light. It says, for that is who you are. You are children of light. We are children of the light. And we need to be able to say that to ourselves. When there's darkness around us, we just say, you know what? I'm a child of light. And I say no to this stuff in the name of Jesus. You know, the enemy's always trying to flirt darkness in front of us. He's always trying to have us flirt with it. He's always trying to pull us into it. That's his goal and his mission. But to be able to declare the praises of the Lord who called us out of that darkness, then the temptations of messing with that stuff, messing with darkness or flirting with it, is far gone from us if we just really praise the Lord in that place. Cultivating, let's see, Philippians 4:8. I love this verse. This is probably one of the first verses that I memorized. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, the praising the Lord for who he is, living a life of being praiseworthy, and thinking about those things that are praiseworthy, it's such a healthy thing for our thought life. It says, think about these things. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. If it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So sometimes if our thoughts go to a negative place or to a place that they shouldn't be going, be able to begin to praise the Lord. Be able to praise him in that place. And then it just cultivates that heart of praise into a healthy lifestyle of thinking. Because the greatest battles are in our thought life. That's where the battle starts, in our thought life. Sin doesn't start with the manifestation of the sin. It starts in our thought life. So if we can praise the Lord in the middle of our thought life for things that are praiseworthy, then in that place we have a healthy lifestyle of our thought life. So is your praise life, Lord, focused? So in your praise life, do you live a thankful life? And what condition is your praise life in? Is it healthy? I felt like the Lord was saying today for us to push through. You know, he said, praise until something happens. That's push, an acronym for push. Some say prayer, but today it's a praise until something happens. I feel like I just sensed today as I was preparing this message that some of us are a little stuck, that it's kind of, we're in a hard place, or we're just in these places where it's really hard to praise. It's really hard to praise the way that we would want to. It's really hard to demonstrate our love to the Lord, our allegiance to Him through praise, we just kind of feel stuck. We're in this place. So I felt like the Lord is saying to push through today. Push into a greater level of praise. Push it into, you know, and then, so some of you may have never danced before Him. So maybe today's the day that you dance before Him. Maybe some of you have never lifted up your hand in praise. Maybe this is the day that you do that, that you finally do that. Maybe today, is this the day that you shout, that you shout and worship? Or is this the day that you just proclaim that He is holy? You know, sometimes if we don't know how to praise Him or we don't know what to praise, it's just a time to just say, holy, He is holy. Why don't you stand? I'm gonna pray over you guys today. I just want to, Lord, we thank You and give You praise today. Lord, I ask that You would take us to higher levels in praise, that we would push through into praise, Lord, into greater places, higher places, deeper places of praise. We want to meet You there, God. You inhabit the praises of Your people, God. We want to meet You in that secret place, God. So take us to higher levels, deeper places in praise, God. You are worthy of our praise. We declare it today, God. You are worthy of all our praise. In the day, in the night, in the middle of the night, You are worthy of our praise. We exalt You today, Jesus. We give You thanks and praise. In Jesus' name.